Well, this evening we're going to look at another question that people often ask, and sometimes we are unprepared, so we don't know what to say, and that's what these little Wednesday night questions and answers are all about. And we need to be more ready to give an answer. So let me encourage you. I don't have all the answers. I need to look and study and use good materials. Brother Cloud has put out an excellent apologetic series. I'm using a lot of his materials as well. And so we are learning together. And one common question that often is asked is, isn't the God of the Old Testament cruel? And they might say, well, you know, when Joshua and the nation of Israel went into the land of Canaan, God said, don't leave anyone alive. Everyone must be put to death. You are to conquer the land, and that is my will for you. And someone who obviously doesn't know the Lord can very understandably ask the question, isn't that terribly, terribly cool? I don't want to believe in a God who can be so vicious and violent. So we can't expect those who have not been enlightened by the Spirit of God, who don't understand the mercy and love of God, to understand the holiness of God. But there are some answers that we can give. So I trust this little time this evening will help. And what I'd like to do is start just with this thought. When someone says, well, God is cruel, God is violent, God is mean, you can quickly answer back, and depending on how much time you have, well, can I quickly say that it's not God that is cruel, but man is horrifically cruel. Man is horrifically cruel. That's your first blank in your notes, the word cruel. Man is horrifically cruel. Now, you're saying God is cruel, but can I quickly tell you, you might like to say to them, what these nations were like. Have a look in Deuteronomy chapter 12, and there's the verse there. Let's have a look together. Deuteronomy chapter 12, God describes to the nation of Israel before they entered the land, who were these people like? The Bible says, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, have they done unto their gods, little g gods, idols. For even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Now, first of all, God tells us in his word that these people were not peace-loving people. These people were horrifically cruel people that lived in the land. They were devoted to every disgusting, vile, wicked practice, things that we can't even imagine. Bestiality. Absolutely abominable. That's what they were taking place. That's what was taking part. Immorality with animals, if you don't know what that term means. And sodomy. Now, depending who you're talking to, you might leave that one off for the moment. But sodomy, rape, incest, and as we just read, the burning of their own children to their idols. If you read your Bible, you'll find out what they did with their man-made idols that were had burning furnaces underneath the hands of this god, this idol god, and they would place their live babies, their living children, into the hands of this burning idol, and the child burnt to death, screaming itself to death as a sacrifice for blessing upon their harvest and upon their lives. I mean, the acts that these people took part in were horrific. Would you agree? You can tell that person. And we need to understand that they were destroyed for their gross wickedness. Their gross wickedness. Now, if you have time, you can tell them about an example. I know these things are distasteful. I'll try and be as discreet as I can. But you can tell them about the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Have you heard of that before? Yes. Well, the Bible tells us in an incident that happened. Two messengers from God, which were in fact angels, entered the city. They came to Lot's house. Lot welcomed them in. In fact, he hastily brought them in because he knew what the men of the city were like. Now, not long after, a gang of men came to the door. Now, they were not a welcoming crowd. They did not come to Lot's door to welcome these two strangers into the city. No, they came to defile them. They came to defile them and to abuse them and to drag them out onto the street to do so just because They were newcomers into the city. That's how they welcomed newcomers in the city of Sodom. And when Lot said, I'm not going to do that, they said, well, Lot, then you are the one that we're going to take instead and do it to you. That's what these people were like. Sometimes we forget that as well. And what audacity man has to blame God. To blame God. The Bible tells us that these pagan nations were proud and bold in their sin. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 9. I've just put the reference, not the verse. Let me read it for you. The Lord says, the show of their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Basically, God is saying, the description of the sinfulness of Sodom, they didn't hide it. It was out in the open. They were bold. They didn't have any regrets or any conscience at all about what they did. And they have rewarded evil unto themselves. They got what they deserved. Now, you can ask that person. It depends on the length of time you have. After you shared some true reality with them, you can ask them, do you believe in law and order? Do you believe in justice, that a criminal should pay for their crimes? Say some of these horrific things were... Say some of your loved ones were subjected to this horrific... For these horrific, abominable tragedies. Say it was some of your loved ones. Would you blame this nation's justice system in bringing these people to justice? Or would you expect justice to be done? Well, obviously the answer is clear. So how can we say that God is cruel or it is God's fault when He in His holiness, in His perfect justice and righteousness, could see everything that they did and then decided to punish them for their cruelty? Their punishment fitted their crime. Now, wouldn't you expect that in our day? And by the way, our justice system is flawed. People get away with horrific acts all the time. But when it happens to you, I guarantee you will want justice. Amen? Exactly. You'll want justice. Now, again, it depends on how much time you have. You might like to just quickly say something in return. No, man is cruel. Did you know what they were doing? It was horrific. And you can obviously share what you have time for. But man is horrifically cruel. Young people, it wasn't God's fault. Now, let me share another thought with you. Man is cruel, but God is extremely long-suffering. What an amazing truth about our God. How long-suffering God is. Amen. To see not only the actions of wicked men, mankind, but to allow them to continue. Why? To give them time to repent. Have a look in your notes, Psalm 86, verse 15. Let's read it on two, shall we? 1, 2. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. The word long-suffering means to suffer long, to be patient, to be patient. In fact, it means to be slow to anger. So, here is a holy God, a God of justice, who in His long-suffering and love is slow to anger. He gave, for example, these nations 400 years to repent before judgment came. Generation upon generation were given the opportunity to repent, to turn to God before judgment came. And here's God's patience. He gave them every reason and every opportunity to turn from their wicked ways. They had the light of creation all around them. Every sunset that these people saw reminded them that they have an infinite and holy Creator. Every sunset that they saw gave evidence of the Creator God. The creation around them showed them that God is real. Then there was the light of their own conscience. Every time they committed an abominable act, such as what we've described, their conscience reminded them this is wrong. This is disgusting. This is unacceptable. But the more they refused to listen to their own conscience, the harder their hearts became, to the point they couldn't hear anymore. Their hearts were hardened. Then they had the light of the messengers of God. Now, who went before the nation of Israel in the land of Canaan? What about Abraham? Amen. What about his sons, Isaac? What about Jacob? What about Melchizedek? There were those in the land who knew of God, who knew the one true living God. You see, these nations were not ignorant. They had the light that God had given them, everything that they need. They could have listened and they could have been delivered. How do we know that? Well, you might like to share with someone the wonderful story of Jonah. What an amazing story of the grace of God. Jonah. So often we focus on Jonah. But what about the Ninevites? Did you know that Nineveh was the most violent, wicked city in the land in that day? I mean, they did such wicked things, everyone feared them. They were so violent. They were so cruel. And God sent a stubborn preacher named Jonah to the city of Nineveh to warn this city that God has had enough. It's decision time. God is going to judge the city. He does not want to, but he must because he is holy. Amen. Judgment is coming. You need to repent. Jonah preached, and what happened? What happened? The Bible tells us, unbelievably almost, that the whole city turned. They repented. They turned from their wickedness and they turned to the living God. And God rejoiced to save this city, especially for the sake of the little children in the city. And you can tell that person, you see, these ones that God destroyed, they chose their fate. Their evil was a reward for their deeds. They could have repented. It's not God that's cruel. He's long-suffering. He gives everyone space to turn to him for forgiveness. But over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years and many, many generations, God's long-suffering was drawn out and they rejected God's forgiveness and rebelliously chose to become worse and worse worse to the point that they were sacrificing their own children, their own babies. And God said, that's enough. That's enough. See, man is horrifically cruel. God is extremely long-suffering. And then thirdly, God is merciful to everyone who seeks his mercy. Amen? Everyone. That's what the Bible tells us. Look with me carefully, please. Psalm 86 and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good. Man is not good. Man is not good. Man is wicked. The thoughts of man's heart are wicked continuously. That's why judgment came during Noah's day, for example. But God is good. He is ready to forgive. Notice this. And plenteous in mercy unto, what's the next word? All. Not just some. All that call upon thee. Now I've used verses from the Psalms specifically because the Old Testament God is cruel. Well, here's some Old Testament verses about God. Amen. God is so merciful. And you see, man is so depraved, so dead in their sins that they could even have the audacity to say that God is cruel. God is not cruel. God is merciful to all. And I like the wonderful example of Rahab. You know, while we're on the topic of the nation of the land of Canaan, all right, the first city that the Israelites encountered that they had to destroy was the city of Jericho. Do you realize, you can say to that person, not everyone died in that city? Do you realize that God spared a lady named Rahab? Amen. Now, Rahab was a woman that did the wrong thing with her body. She was a harlot. She knew she was a sinner. And just like everyone else in that city, and I've given you a reference from Exodus, just like everyone else in the city, and in fact, everyone else in the land of Canaan, they knew the Israelites were coming. They had heard afar off what God was going to do. They heard that judgment was coming with the Israelites. But you know what Rahab chose to do? The Bible tells us that Rahab chose to put her faith in God. She turned from her wicked ways. She put her faith in the one true God for her salvation. God forgave her. And what happened in the end? God saved Rahab and her entire family. In fact, God put Rahab in the line of Jesus Christ. That's how God, how merciful God is. And if the entire city would have done the same, they would have been spared. And from city to city to city, it would have been the same. God's mercy was available for all, but wicked man said, we don't even believe in that God. And knowing that the judgment was coming, the rest of the citizens of Jericho said, we're going to take our chances. We love our wickedness more than turning to God. You see, it's not God that's cruel. It's man that is desperately depraved and lost in sin. And God was merciful. And the whole Bible, from the Old Testament to the New, tells us that God delights in mercy. God delights in mercy, and He does not delight in the punishment of the wicked. He doesn't delight in it. God delights in mercy. And the Bible says, and there are some wonderful verses in the New Testament, that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Friends, that is our God. And we need to joyfully tell someone who asked that question, do you realize the greatest expression of God's love was that when He in the His holiness and righteousness and in His perfection came to this wicked world, took upon Him the flesh of a man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He went to the old rugged cross, and there on that cross, with His holy blood, He paid for our sins. He paid for the sins of the world. Why? For God so loved the world. Can you imagine the enormity of the disgust in the sight of God of all sin? You know, God cannot look upon sin. Have you ever thought about Christ upon the earth who had to look upon sin? Who saw sin with His own very eyes? Who saw the greatness of the wickedness of sin? And was in the presence of sin? And how He bore our sins on the cross?
Amen.
And when those who had so unjustly nailed Him to the cross were swearing at Him, were blaspheming, were cursing Him as He died at the greatest point of His physical suffering, He cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the God of the Bible. He came down to us. He died for my sin. He died for your sin.
Amen.
Would you like to know more about Him, how you can be forgiven? Friends, we're all sinners. And you can go on to the gospel from there. Try not to get angry when someone makes a statement like this about God. They're ignorant. We shouldn't expect them to know the Lord. But we have an answer to give. Amen. And we encourage you to do so in meekness and in fear of the Lord and His work in that person's heart. But I trust that this may have given you some thoughts to answer a question like this. Contrasting the horrific wickedness of man with the unfathomable, ununderstandable mercy and long-suffering of God. He is a God of mercy. And who are we in the end to judge God? Who are we to judge God?